We're going to continue our study in the book of Galatians. And we are to this point of this study in Galatians chapter 4. Well, to be looked at here as the gospel of adoption. Make sure you read that closely. Adoption. And I say that to say my daughter looked at this and said it was the gospel of abortion. It's a gospel of adoption. As Paul presents this to here in Galatians chapter 4. We're not going to take time to read the chapter, but we will reference several verses throughout the chapter. Again, I would encourage you to read these chapters. Read the book. It's only 6 chapters, relatively short reading. So I would encourage you to read those chapters and read the book of Galatians in relation to this study. But this is the 4th lesson examining the book of Galatians, from the book of Galatians. And this lesson here will focus upon the gospel as a message of adoption. We can become children of God. Once we do, though, we must live a certain way. And we've passed this point along as we have gone through this lesson. That God has said, you can become my children. But we have to meet His conditions to do so. He has told us how to become His child. And without meeting the requirements that God has set, we cannot be His child. We have never adopted a child. But I know others that have. And there is a rigorous process to go through to adopt a child. You have to meet certain conditions. You have to sign paperwork upon paperwork upon paperwork. They have to basically study you and your household and your family for you to be able to adopt a child. God has laid out specific requirements and things that we need to examine in our lives to be an adopted child of God. And this is what Paul relates to these Galatians here. And has been relayed other places as well. But specifically as we look here in the book of Galatians. To begin with, as we have here, is that we have the announcement by the Apostle Paul. And telling these Galatians here that basically that we can become a child of God. You can become a child of God. You can be the adopted child of God. But there's instructions, as we'll note as we go on, and probably this evening again, the instructions of how to be that one. How that God can adopt us into His family. Galatians chapter 4, there he says, Christ came at the fullness of time. Verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. That fullness of time, the appointed time by the Father. When in His infinite wisdom, God said, this is the time. He deemed the time to have His Son come. It was the proper time. Remember, in between the Old Law, at the close of the Old Testament, at the beginning of the New Testament, there's about a 400-year period that God did not speak. God did not utter a word in that time to His children. And then His Son came. So the time was right, the time was proper. There was relative peace upon the earth. There was at that time a kind of a universal language that everyone or most everyone understood and most everyone could speak. This time here under the Roman Empire, and if you've studied Roman history at all or even just a little bit, the things that they implemented in the world, that they brought about into the world, was amazing. And much of our designs and inventions today look to those of the Roman Empire. The roads that the Romans, there weren't roads, really roads before. There may have been dirt paths. But the Romans, in their empire, built roads to get from place to place. And that was helpful to the spread of the gospel. Those in the first century could follow, could travel these roads to far distant places. They could have not have been reached so easily in other times. So the time was right. And he knew this. He knew when this would be. God knew when this would be. Daniel prophesied of these things many, many, many years before. In chapter 2 and verse 44 of Daniel, in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Nor shall the sovereignty thereof be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. God, this is all God's plan. And this is the message that Paul is trying to get the Galatians to understand. This is when God deemed the time right for to send his Son. Everything that happened up to that point and prior to that point, it was because of God. Everything happened because it was God's plan that would come about that way. And everything leading from his Son and to now is because God has laid it out already. And it is unfolding just as God wants it to. We have to remember, in all this, in this life that we live, no matter what goes on in our lives personally, in our lives individually, in our lives and collectively as a church, in our lives and collectively as a country, and collectively as the world, we have to remember God does his things on his time, and that we must be patient. Psalms reminds us of that. The psalmist writes in Psalms 37, verse 7, beginning there, says, "Rest in Jehovah and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Verse 18, "Jehovah knoweth the days of the perfect, and the inheritance shall be forever." God does his things in his time. We sing the song from time to time. In his time. When his Son returns, it's going to be in his time. Everything that is in my life, God has planned. I don't know what all that is. I may not know everything. I don't know what's going to happen by the end of this day. But I know that God does. And I know that what is going to happen is because of him, or not because of him. And everything that I have planned in my life, today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, next 5 years, everything that I have laid out, I have said, this is what I want to accomplish, is it going to come about because of God, and if he allows me to. If I meet death upon this earth before the return of the Christ, it's because of him. It's because that's what he has laid out for me. God does everything in our lives according to his time. Paul tells these Galatians here that we are sons, we are heirs. in verse 7 in Galatians 4, so that thou art no longer a bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. If you're a son of God, recall there Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18 there, where Paul tells the Romans there, you are no longer a bondservant. If you're obedient to God and to His will, you're no longer a bondservant to sin. You're no longer a bondservant to Satan, but by your obedience and your faith, you are now a bondservant or a servant of the Most High, of Christ, of God. You're no longer, you Galatians, you are no longer a bondservant, but you are a son by your obedience. Recall chapter 3 there, in end of verse chapter 3. Verses there, about 23 through the end of the chapter. You put on Christ. You are baptized into Christ. You put on Christ. And putting on Christ, that puts you as a son of God and an heir. We have the privilege, you Galatians, have the privilege of being a child of God. To be children of God. In 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this cause the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Do you think of that? How often do you think of that? How much love God has for you, that He enables you, and myself is included in this you. I'm not singling anyone out. Myself is included in this you. How much love God had for you and bestowed upon you to become a child of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. While we were yet sinners, God commendeth His love toward us. While we were sinners, that love was bestowed upon us. That love was shown to us by sending His only begotten Son. For me to be a child of God. No matter what the world says. No matter what religious organizations or denominations say. We are not born that way. We are not born a child of God. We must be born again. John chapter 3 and verse 3. As Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born of the water and the Spirit. You're not born a child of God. You're not born saved. But you must meet the conditions of God to become that child. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Through the Word of God have we been begotten again as His children. There is an inheritance waiting for us. We have in this life many things that we must meet. Many things that we must overcome. Revelation 21 and verse 7. Says of those who overcome, he that overcometh shall inherit these things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We must overcome the things of this world. And we will inherit these things. There is a great inheritance waiting the children of God. That eternal home with Him. This adoption of God, of us by God, comes because we have been redeemed. Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 5. That He might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Redeemed by the blood of Christ. It took His death. It took His blood that was shed for me to become a child of God. We see and we understand and know and talk about more of the aspect many times that, you know, for Christ died and His blood was shed so I can have forgiveness of my sins. Yes, true. But He also died and His blood was shed up on that cross for me to become a child of God. Without His death, I would be and I would have neither. It freed them from the curse of the law, so to speak. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ became that curse for me. For me to be the adopted son of God Most High. Through His death, Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a people for His own possession, zealous of good works. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that ye were redeemed, not of corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner of life, handed down from your fathers, but with the precious blood, as a lamb without spot, even the blood of Christ. It's not because that we are born that way. It's not because of past generations that our family were faithful. It's because of us, because of our obedience, because we have heeded to the will of God, because of the precious blood of Jesus, that I have been redeemed. He's saying the things of this world, gold, silver, and whatever precious metal or stone there is can do nothing for me and my salvation. I cannot utter the words of the Roman when Paul was being beaten. And Paul was asked, are you allowed to do this to a Roman citizen? And they brought that before the rulers, and the ruler, that Roman ruler, said, you're a Roman? He says, I was born a Roman citizen. This ruler answered him, I'm a Roman citizen, but I bought my Roman citizenship. I can't buy my citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. I can't buy myself to be a child of God. There is no price that I can pay with the wealth of this earth that I can give to become a child of God. only been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In my obedience, can I be that child of God? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In whom, in Jesus, we have our redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Only in Him can redemption be found. Paul tells these Galatians, say then again here, that you have come to know God. Verse 9. He says, you have come to know God. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how turn ye back again to the weak and the beggarly rudiments, whereunto ye desire to be in bondage over again? How can you child of God, you children of God, remember how he began this letter to these Galatians? I marvel how quickly have you removed yourself from the gospel. How can you do that? How can you come to know God and God known by you, know you? How can you return to be in bondage to sin again? Do we really know God? Or are we really coming to know God as we should when we turn back to the world, turn back to sin? How have we learned of Him? And how do we learn of Him? The Word tells us, John 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. He has declared through His Word that we can come to know Him. He has declared in His Word for us to come to know Him. What have we done? What are we doing to draw closer to God, to know God? How close are we to Him? What kind of fellowship do we have with Him? What kind of relationship do we have with God? Chapter 14 of John. Verse 18, I will not leave you desolate. I come unto you. Yet a little while, and the world beholdeth me no more. But you behold me, because I live, you shall also live. I will not leave you desolate. I will not leave you so you cannot know me. I will not leave you for without the things to come to know me. Do we have enough for us to know God? We were just talking about this chapter and this verse here yesterday, me and another gentleman talking about these things. John 20 and verse 30 and 31. Many other signs, therefore, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life in his name. Can you imagine? I can't. Maybe you can, but I can't. I cannot fathom the volumes upon volumes upon volumes of the other things that Jesus has done, that God has done, that I don't know about. What I do know is he has sufficiently supplied everything that I need to know him and draw closer to him. Everything else that he has not revealed, I don't need to spend my time wondering what those things are. But Jesus says, John records that these are sufficient. What God has given us is sufficient to know him. It is sufficient to know, to become a child of God. It is sufficient to know to how to live to be a child of God. It is sufficient for me to know how to know that I am a servant. A servant in the kingdom of God, a servant to others. How have we come to know God? How do we come to know God? We have become known by God because we love him. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 3. But if any man loveth God, the same is known by him. John 14 and 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. The love that we have for God is going to lead us. The love that we have for his word is going to lead us. The love that we have for his son is going to lead us to be or become a child of God. There's more than that. More than just that, God knows about us. We have fellowship with him, and we have fellowship with his children. Galatians, as we close for this morning, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And because ye are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So that thou art no longer a bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. He's told us that you can be my child. You can be an heir to the promises. You can live in eternity with him. The Galatians had forgotten that. Forgotten what they had been taught. Forgotten that they had been obedient to that gospel once before. And Paul is reminding them of that. He's reminding them that you are the adopted children of God by your obedience. and reminding them there is a certain way that they need to live, that they must live, and in order to remain that child of God. That holds true and is still relevant even today. If you're not a child of God, the great physician can heal you, can take away the disease of sin that is in your life, that is ruling over you, that has you enslaved to the master of sin, the master of deception, the master of lies. Jesus can take you away from that. He died for that purpose, for you to come to Him. So why not this morning, in faith and obedience and in love for Him, come to Him, let Him take away that burden of sin that is upon your shoulders. Or perhaps you find yourself in the condition of these Galatians, where you've departed the faith. Why not come to this morning, repenting of that sin, asking God for His forgiveness, praying to Him, asking for His forgiveness. Let that burden of sin off your shoulders be lifted. Why not this morning? Why not now? The great physician is waiting. He is willing, He is able, and He is loving toward you. Why not come to Him this morning while we stand, while we sing?